on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. And we are in the Mishnah, but we're in the fourth line in the Mishnah. Hacheretz, Hacheresh, Shenech, the fourth line from the top. Hacheresh, Shenechlatz, a Cheresh that received Chalitza, meaning his shoe was taken off. The Cheresh is Shecholza, or a Cheresh that did the Chalitza, or Chaletzis Lekutin, the man is a Kutin, Chalitzasim Sula, the Chalitza is Puzzle. Now those are written the Farish in the Torah. The Torah says Ish, can be a cutting, and the Torah, well, we'll learn out the Chayresh and Chayreshes. The Gemara is going to have a question: what is there? What's wrong with them? Is it because they don't have das, or is it because they can't speak? Nafkamina would be: what if it's a Chayresh who is a medaber, is a shemeya ve'ena medaber, meaning he doesn't speak. He can hear. He's not the total Chayresh. Right? He's a partial Chayresh. So we're going to see in the Gemara, but these three are beferish in the Torah. We're going to learn it out from Sukkim. Whereas Ketana Shecholza is not beferish in the pasuk. The Man Yomer that says that Ketana can't do Chalitza is because he compares a woman to a man. So therefore, the Mishnah listed separately. That's what Taisa says later on. Ketana Shecholza tachlus mishetagdo. She has to do Chalitza again. When Beicholza Chalitza subsula. Now Tysus wants to know, why did the Gemara make a separate Mishnah make a separate case of Ksana? Why couldn't it say Cheresh Chaletzis Katan Ksana? So Tysus says, because it's not the Cheresh in the Pasuk, it's derived. And since it's derived, the Mishnah just put it in its own category. Rashi, Dr. Rashi Cheresh, it's the last wide line. Shecholot Chalitas Absula, the Paitra B'mokam Ach Kusher, the Paterher, the place if there's a kosher brother. Now this is a big problem. This Rashi creates a big controversy. Chalitza psula, right? It's not a good chalitza. So what does that mean, lepaitra? It's not good enough to free her, but malkam ach kosher when there's an other brother. What if there's no other brother? And you have a man that's a cheresh. Why does Rashi have to say it doesn't accomplish what Chalitza has to accomplish if there's somebody else? If there's no one else, he still can't do Chalitza. He's a Cheresh. So there's those, there's a big tumult how to learn the Rashi. There's those that want to say that he can still do Yibum. A Cheresh can do Yibum under certain circumstances. So we'll see, that'll be a, we'll talk. What? Yeah, the Kalila Yibam, the Chalitza. Doesn't go the other way.
Hasar Tikuna?
I'm sorry.
What's the essence of the deficiency?
To make it Hasar Tikuna.
Back my side, I can't talk to two people one time, yes.
What's the essence of her deficiency here? Why is there a deficiency in her Chalitza?
Well, he's a Cheresh.
I thought we were talking about if she was also.
No difference. One or two.
Okay, so what's her deficiency?
Oh, the Gemara is going to say, we haven't got to the Gemara. The Gemara will talk about what her deficiency is. So someone want to be medayik from Rashi, that if there's a brother there, the brother has to do Chalitza. But if there's no other brother there, the option of Yibam still exists. Even though he did Chalitza, it's worthless, and therefore we would allow Yibam. Again, the word Psula, you know, let me try to do this. The word Psula indicates that it didn't work, but we don't allow Yibum to take place. So it doesn't say Ein Chalitz at all. Meaning there's different levels. Rabbinically, we say it's enough to make sure she can't have Yibum from a brother. She'll need Chalitza from a different brother. What if there is no other brother? So I'll wait till tomorrow. We'll come back to this after we learn a little bit Gemara. Chareshi Shchotz Chalitzasa Psula Hi Atzmei Din Neftaris B'Chalitzasa. She's not free to go because the middle come and beg me shamad. Ve'ain lo takana lo beyibum. You can be meyab machareshes. Then rustle the haitzi yaitzi beget, and then you can divorce her, because yibum does not require that she have any das, right? Meaning she doesn't. She's, you know, you can be kind to her against her will, so you kind to her, and afterwards you can divorce the chareshes again. Because divorce can be given to a chareshes. It doesn't require the woman's participation, only the woman's acceptance. whereas chalitza requires the woman's participation, and we will see what the problem is in the Gemara. We still haven't gotten to what the problem is.
When a person can be Makadish, a lady who is sleeping?
No. He can be Megarish, a lady who is sleeping, biblically. Yibum is not Kedushin. You need a bezin. Shimon Rabbi Yechon Asanla Machshirim, we had them last week that said you don't need a bezin. The Ma'aseh Be'echad Shecholosh Beinu LeBeinu Bein Sasurim, and the Gemara will explain what happened in jail. We bought myself there, Rabbi Kiva Vehichshir, and Rabbi Kiva said you don't need a bezin. Rashi, Kol Tzim Mishnayim Ksherim Begivu Benim Tzechem and Karav, the other have a Lushnayim. One is a Karav, it remains the other are two, or just two. Chalitas the Psulim, Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yechon Asanla Machshirim, but like I see the Mishnayim. The Mishnayim also come in Tanakama. The word Mishnayim is a repeat. It doesn't have to be said. Okay, now. I'm a Rava. Now, Rava's going to say something. Again, I think we should give the Gemara like 15 lines. But, Chalitza, you had a question? Guess not. I'm a Rava. I'm sorry?
No.
Okay. I'm a Rava. Now, let's give the Gemara 15 lines before we come to any kind of conclusion. Hashta the Amrit Kriya Loi Ma'akva. Now that you say, before the beginning of the Mishnah, that saying the words, right, remember, in the Parsha of Chalitza, there's things for him to say, for her to say, and we said in the Mishnah that if Chalitza is done without Kriya, it is kosher. So now that you said that you don't have to have Kriya, Lefichach Ilayim V'ilemes, if either one of the two are mute, shecholtu chalitzasin shera, because speaking is not an necessary part of chalitza. If you do it without the speaking, it works. So therefore, a person who can't speak, either male or female, the man or the woman, it's not ma'akev in the chalitza. That is what Rava is saying. Because the Mishnah started off, that was the first case in the Mishnah, that means reading is not necessary, but the evidence. We want it, but the evidence, it's okay. So therefore, a person that's mute, or the lady is mute, or the man is mute, chalitza can be done. Rashi, ilay ve'ilam es shecholtu chalitza sin sheva. Tanan, our Mishnah, charet shenechlatz, v'charesha shecholtu, v'chaletzis min hakotten, chalitza sin psula. Why is a cheresh puzzle? My time in Lab Mishnah was Lab B'nai Kriya Ninu, because they can't read. So if that's the case, the same should be true by a mute. Zok de Gemara loy, Mishnah de Lab B'nai Deya Ninu, because they're not considered Bali Das. We've talked this a number of times. Cheresh Shaita V'katna are not considered Bali B'nai Das. And we went through the Machloikas, whether today, what would happen today. But we're talking about a cheresh who's not shemeya and not medaber, can't communicate. Since he can't communicate through speech or listening, the Torah considers him not a bardas, and therefore he can't do chalitza. It has nothing to do with reading. Frekta gemari hachi ilevi lemes nami. Aren't you people also not b'nei das? I'm a rabbi, no. Ilevi lemes b'nei deyaninu. People can hear and not speak are regular, healthy people as far as das is concerned. Upumayu the kavla. They have a pain in their mouth, meaning they have a lack in their ability to speak, but it doesn't reflect on their das. And therefore, according to this, an Elaim V'Lemes can do chalitza, even though they can't say the words, and a cheresh cannot do chalitza, because a cheresh is a not a bar das. Again, we need a few more lines. Frek the Gemara. Rabbi Yannai says that a cheresh can't do chalitza because he can't speak. That's how Rabbi Yannai translated it, which means anybody that lacks the power of speech can't do chalitza. So cheresh doesn't necessarily have to be somebody who can't hear and can't speak if they can't speak. Dr. Gemara, you're right. Ella, ki itmar de Rava sefer itmar. Rava said his statement on the end of the Mishnah. Cheresh and Echlatz, v'chareshes shecholza, v'chaletes min hakotn chalitosa psula. Amar Rava, hashta the amit kriya ma'akva. Now that you're saying they have to say the words, and that is why a cheresh and chareshes, who can't speak, that's how we're translating the word cheresh and chareshes now, a mute people can't do chalitza either because they can't speak. I, the Mishnah, said you don't have to speak. Okay, now we'll get to Reb Zeira in a moment. At the end of the Gemara comes out saying that speech is necessary, even though the Mishnah at the beginning said speech is not necessary. So the Gemara's rule is anything that can be done is not always, it can be something, let me say, not everything. Things that can be done don't have to be done. A person who can't do it is worse than a person who doesn't do it. That's what the Gemara says, and there's a source for that which we will get to in a moment. So now let's reflect back on our Mishnah. So the reason a Chayresh and Chayreshes can't do Chalitza is not necessarily because they're not B'nai Das, even if they are B'nai Das, even if they can hear, but if they can't communicate by speech, the Torah insists on the ability to speak. Even though, at the end of the day, if a regular person who could speak does Chalitza without speaking, it's kosher, that's because they could speak. But the Torah wants a person who could speak. That's what we're saying. Yes?
When she was married, could she speak?
I didn't hear the question.
When she was married, when she was on the kippah, did she have these same deficiencies?
Okay, so this is going to be a major discussion later on in the Gemara, a few blot off, but we'll leave that. I'm not going to wait for that. I'm just going to answer that quickly. There's a difference between an ilaim, a person who can hear and not speak, and a person who can't hear and can't speak. Again, without getting involved, we talked about this a number of weeks ago. But the Torah views a cheresh, a not-hearing, not-speaking person, as a not-bardas. Therefore, any marriage done at that point is rabbinic, not biblical. If the woman got married healthy and then turned into cheresh, that was a biblical marriage that now has a problem.
Is a rabbinic-only marriage subject to Yivamah?
Yes, rabbinically.
Same procedure. The sign language kind of speaking?
No. Writing doesn't count like speaking. Harry said speak, not write.
You mentioned persons who can hear but can't speak. I think the reverse is more prevalent. You can't hear, but you can speak. It doesn't seem to be addressed at this point.
According to the end of the Gemara, person who can speak and not hear can do chalitza. Because he is a bardas. Again, in the Gemara's time, the only person who could speak and not hear was a person who was born healthy, and therefore acquired the power of speech because he was healthy and could hear, and then later on lost it in life, that person would be considered a bardas, number one, and number two, he can speak, so he can meet the qualifications of necessary to speak. Doesn't say anywhere that anybody has to be able to hear. It only says that the people be able to speak. That person can speak. So again, there are three types of people that we qualify. We call them the family of cheresh. I picked the male, but it's the same in the female, chereshes. The ultimate cheresh of chereshes, the worst kind, is the person that's not a bardas. And that's the person that cannot hear and cannot speak. Torah considers him not a bardas. We talked a few weeks ago, is modern technology changed that? Because now it's possible to communicate and learn how to speak and all these things without being able to hear. Does it change that? The major machlekes, we're not going there. Then there's the half-cherishes. the cheresh that can speak or not hear, or hear and not speak. Both of them are bali das. They're fully 100% bali das. They can count for minyan. They can do kedushin. All those things can be done by them. The question is, when the Torah requires the ability to speak, the one who can't speak is disqualified. Not because he's not a bar das, but because the Torah requires a certain procedure, which he cannot do.
Which the procedure is kokriya?
Yeah.
So kriya is...
But it's not ma'akim. But it's not ma'akim. That's the problem.
How do we know it's not ma'akim?
The Mishnah said it's not ma'akim.
Okay, so it's not... So, running, but it's... But, so the problem... Well, what's the question? The question is... Since they can, if it's, what's the question?
There's no question. The next question is going to be, if it's not ma'akev, so why do we need? Why does the person have to be able to speak?
Who says he has to speak?
The Gemara here says ilam ilam is his puzzle. No, puzzle. Period.
A person who can speak. Cannot speak, but hear is puzzled even by the evidence.
Right, that's what it said. But the Mishnah said you don't have.
Right.
To...
Right. How can this?
That, so now we're going to address that question.
In the family of Perush, I think is what the way you put it. Why would there ever have been an issue about someone who could hear but not speak? If, for example, they can write like Rashi, they could put out.
There is no. Again, cheresh is a physical thing. Cheresh means someone who lacks. He's 100% bar das. Nobody questions that.
So we don't categorize them as...
See, cheresh is not a halachic status only. It's a physical status.
I understand, but there's obviously implications about other than physical status. Are we
only a full cheresh, not a half a cheresh.
So it's not like you can't serve as a kohen because you have some physical blemish or anything?
Nothing. Well, he won't be able to do because he can't speak.
No, I meant just as a person. It's really just a oral defect is what we're talking about.
Right.
But there's no question that...
No, he's 100% by dust.
So
it's not a question.
That person can be married, that person can be whatever. Physical speaking, the speaking requirements would make that person ineligible.
Right, correct. And the hearing requirements would make a person who can't hear ineligible. For instance, someone who was totally deaf, cannot hear Schaefer. He cannot blow Schaefer. Because he's not high, he can't do Schaefer, so he can't do it for anybody else either.
In this case, the Yavam...
I'm just saying, the Yavam... Here there's no requirement of hearing at all.
So there's a requirement for her to say. There's no requirement for him to hear.
Correct. He doesn't have to hear a word. See, the Mishnah the reason I was doing this is the Mishnah refers to cheresh. There are many different kinds of cheresh. I addressed this a few weeks ago, or last week, or 2 weeks ago, that in Lashon Kodesh, we have Hebrew words that include the whole and then parts. Like Yom means 24 hours, and Yom means the daylight part of 24 hours. Shabbos means a week, Shabbos means the Shabbos part of the week. So there are such things. Cheresh is mostly spoke about somebody who can't hear. Usually, cheresh is someone who can't hear and can't speak or can't hear. Now, the answer to the question, if you don't have to speak, so why is an elam no good, is Rav Zeira's rule. And let me explain Rav Zeira's rule. The Torah said that the Mishnah says, if you bring a mincha, and you bring oil and flour, and you don't mix them, the mincha is still kosher. But then, the Mishnah says that if you bring a mincha that has 61 esroinim, it's a volume measurement, in one big kli, you cannot, it's not a kosher mincha because it's not mixable with oil. It's too much flour to mix with oil, the volume of oil that you bring. You bring a little bit of oil, up to 60 can be mixed. At 61, it can't be mixed. And the Gemara asked the question, you just told me that you can bring a mincha without mixing it. So how can you turn around and say that if you bring a big mincha that's not mixable, it's puzzle. You don't have to mix. So Rav Zairus says the famous rule. Now, the Torah wrote mixing a number of times, but it never commanded you to mix. It just said, a mincha mixed, a mincha mixed, a mincha mixed. By writing it multiple times, the Torah is telling me it has to be mixable. But if it's mixable, you don't have to mix it. The Torah wants a mincha to be mixable. The Torah does not insist that you actually do the mixing. So if you have a mincha that's mixable, but you don't mix it, it's kosher. But if you bring a mincha that the volume is too big and it's not mixable, then it's puzzle. We take that rule and we apply it many times in Shas. And here is the case. The Torah says speak. But we learn out that it's not ma'akev. But since the Torah talks about speaking so many times, the Torah means to say it has to be somebody that's eligible to speak, even though they don't actually speak. And that's what we're saying. Therefore, a mute person who can't speak can't do chalitza. A person who can speak and doesn't speak can do chalitza. That is the rule.
And our Mishnah then?
Our Mishnah is saying, if you can speak and you don't speak, it's kosher. But if you can't speak, it's not good. And that is Reb Zeira's rule. And I'll read it again in the Gemara. I'm Reb Zeira, Kol Roi Labila. Any mincha that's mixable, ein bila makabas bai. Mixing does not hold it back, does not make it puzzle. Kol she'ein roi labila, bila makabas. Rashi. Zok Rashi, v'amri debay Reb Yane, mefarish time in the masnis in the cheresh v'chareshes, mei'chein v'amr v'amr, but they can't speak. Nan, cheresh adibro chacham v'chom v'chom she'ein aloi shemei v'lai medaber. A cheresh is usually somebody who can't do either. Says he has to speak and she has to speak. Chalitzasa psula. Umasnisin the kani lekara chalitzasa ksherem. Our Mishnah says that chalitza is kosher if you don't speak. Kurab zera. The amar ab zera beperik hamenachas and istochim kolaroy labila. The kani. Now Rashi explains to zera. Ha'imar elay samach alav esreinim. Somebody who says I have to bring 61 esreinim of flour. An isarin is the volume of 43.2 eggs. That's an isarin. 43.2 eggs volume. Now, if somebody says he's going to bring 61 times that, maybe samach b'kliyachad v'echad b'kliyachad. He has to bring 60 in one and one in the other. In the Farish time, though, why can't he bring 61 in one big keli? From the Kimlu l'Rabbanon, the Rabbanon knew, the Shishim Nivloa is b'kliyachad. You can mix 60 in one keli. Av samach alav ein nivloa is yofem. 61 crosses the line, won't be mixed well. From Esvinon, and the Gemara says, v'chiyei nivloa in my havi. So who cares if you can't mix it? But not in my bowl kosher. The Mishnah said, if you don't mix the mincha, it's okay. Well, Mishani Reb Zeira, this becomes a rule in Shas. The Haroi Labila, ain't Bila Makabas Bite. If it's mixable, you don't have to mix it. That's a little like bowl of kosher. It's a mitzvah to mix it, but it's kosher if you don't. Which ain't Roy Labila, Bila Makabas Bite. But if it's not mixable, then it's puzzle. The Roy Labila Binon, the Epshel is Kaiba Mitzvah Mincha. We need it to be possible to do it the right way. Even though actual reading does not hold back the chalitza from being kosher, but royal kriya, it's they could read. If they can't read, makavis, it's ma'akiv.
Rabbi, why is this rule of Rav Zeira applied only to mincha that are mixable? In our situation, where the verse is not repeated, he creates this rule because of the repetition of the word in that context about the mincha. But why would that apply to our situation, where none of the terms, whether it's chalitza or whatever, are repeated seemingly unnecessarily?
Why?
I think the answer is as follows. Again, I'm not 100% sure, but this is, I think, the answer is. By kach, there's a difference between all other, this is a, the source of this I don't know, but this is a fact. There's a difference between kachim and every other mitzvah. Every other mitzvah, the Torah says it once, it must be done. By kachim, the rule is, the Torah has to say it twice. If the Torah doesn't say it twice, we say it only means it's preferable, but it's not necessary. That's the rule by kachim, that any command that the Torah only wrote one time is only a command to do it preferably. Any command that the Torah repeated, then it has to be done. By every other mitzvah not kachim, even one command is considered sufficient to make it necessary. If not, it's out. That's the rule. The source of that, I don't know. I think it's halacha l'maaseh b'sinai, but I don't know. Now, so therefore, by every other thing, the Torah only has to say it once, and it's ma'akev. It doesn't have to repeat the verse. So the Torah says to Amar, and the Torah says to Amram, without anything else, I would say, it's necessary. The Torah said, do it. Anything the Torah says, do, and it's a command. He should say, she should say. Came along the pasuk kocha ye'asa, and said, no. Only actions are ma'akev, non-actions are not ma'akev. Right? So the Torah made this a rule, a command, that's not necessary b'di'evan. It said, v'amar v'amra, then turned around and said, it's okay if you skip that. Right? So therefore, we say, so why did the Torah insist on it if it's not necessary? We don't find preference biblically by any mitzvah. All preferences are usually rabbinic. Biblically, it's either good or no good, except by kachim. Except by kachim, there's no concept of preference. Preferable this way, okay the other way. Biblically speaking, there's no such concept, except by kachim. So if the Torah says, say, and then the Torah says, you don't have to say, so why did the Torah say, say? You don't have to. And there is no preferable biblically. So therefore we say that the Torah is saying, you have to be able to say. By kachim, the rule is, if it's repeated twice, you have to do it. But since it never commands makes it, it just repeats it over and over again, so if Zerah takes that as saying, it has to be able to be mixed. But in other places, I don't need the repetition. It's the fact that the Torah wrote it and then turned around and said it's not necessary. We don't find biblical rules that are preferences. That's a rabbinic concept. It's better to do it this way, but this way is okay. Biblically speaking, there's one way to do things. And here, the Torah said, do it, but you don't have to. So, if you don't have to, so why'd you tell me do it? And the concept that this is the better way doesn't exist biblically. So therefore it must be that the Torah is saying you have to be able to do it, even though you don't actually do it. That's what I think the answer to your question is. In the Raisas, you never find the Chatzilah B'di'evan only by kachim. There's no such thing as the Raisas. The Drabonon, all the time. Mizraisa, there's no such thing as lachatchila b'di'evan except by kachim.
So he says ab lachatchila b'di'evan. That is just teaching you that b'di'evan is okay. B'di'evan is okay, then.
Right. No. It, you don't need to do it. Even lachatchila, you don't need, I mean, it's a mitzvah to do.
I understand. So that's going to help to so by kriya.
By Amira.
I'm saying Kriya Chalitza.
Yes.
So what's that if you could say it but you don't? is that going to help with a few of the evidence?
You missed the mitzvah, but it's okay.
Does that mean the d'evin is good, right?
Again, there is no l'chatchila b'di'evin
m'deraisa. You just, by kachim it is, right?
Right.
There's a b'biwa, which is kachim, right?
Right.
Then that would, it sounds like the Lushan sounds, ain b'li'evin by kevus, but it's like, it's b'di'evin. Like
because by kachim, there's a concept of l'chatchila b'di'evin.
So it only helps, it's not like you did it, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Mashiach came to you by Chalitza.
Also doesn't matter as long as you could do it.
That means,
should you do it?
Midrabanan? Okay.
No, there's no drabanan in the pasuk.
I don't, yeah, so again, I thought Rabbi said outside of Kachem. So by Chalitza? So by Chalitza?
See again. Okay, so let's step back again.
I don't want to confuse anyone, but I'm confused. I don't know what...
You're asking a good question.
No, it's not a good question. It's just I'm trying to take Harvey's brilliancy and I'm trying to understand what's going on.
Well, if you let me try to explain, I'll try to explain it to you, but so far I haven't been able to get a word in. The answer is as follows. The Torah doesn't write L'chatchila b'di'evan. So the problem is, if the Torah said speak, and then the Torah says you don't have to, so what does the Torah mean? What, right? So we say the Torah meant to say, you have to be able to speak. Right? You have to be able to speak. So now you're asking, once the Torah said you have to be able to speak, is there a mitzvah l'chatchila to speak? That's
right.
What your question is. I don't know the answer to that question. So obviously the Torah is saying you have to be eligible to speak. That's what the Torah is saying. Now, once the Torah wrote that, does that make a mitzvah l'chatchila to speak? Meaning, is this saying don't follow the regular rules where there is no l'chatchila b'di'evan? Here, there is a l'chatchila b'di'evan, but there is a b'di'evan that you have to be able to speak.
I'm saying the makor from all of this is Bila, right?
Again, by Bila, again, right.
I know, I understand, but it comes out, we're being better than our makor.
No, we're not.
Yes, you are. I'm sorry.
How are you being better?
Because by Bila, when you don't do it, it's Roy to do it. So we say it suffices b'di'evan, okay? But by Kriya, we're saying, since you could do it, it's as if you did it.
I didn't say that. I l'chatchila, you should do it.
No! He says no l'chatchila, these things.
I said, without, again, I hear your question. I'm trying to answer you. Without, we have a problem here. The general rule is that without kachim, there's no l'chatchila b'di'evan. That's the rule. So here the Torah said, speak, but you don't have to. I mean, the Torah is saying a rule l'chatchila and b'di'evan. The Torah never writes a rule l'chatchila b'di'evan. Must be the Torah is writing a rule that is b'di'evan, and that is that you have to be able to speak. It also throws in the l'chatchila that you should speak, but the Torah would never write a rule l'chatchila by itself. That is against the rule. But once it's a rule b'di'evan that you have to be able to speak, it could be, that's why I'm saying I'm not sure, that l'chatchila you should speak. It's only after that we've translated that the Torah did write a rule that makes it necessary. The Torah doesn't write l'chatchilas. The Torah writes things that are ma'akev, but the Torah contradicted itself. It said speak and then said you don't have to.
Well, which part just said you don't have to?
Kachayasa.
We had that?
Yeah, in Rashi, in the Gemara Mishnah. Kachayasa, only Mises ma'akev. So then, why did the Torah say speak if you don't have to? So the answer is the Torah doesn't say l'chatchila. The Torah is saying you have to be able to speak. Now, once it's there, is there a mitzvah l'chatchila to speak? My guess is yes. But that, the Torah would never write just for that. That goes against the rules. Once it's ma'akeh b'di'evet, it could be that there's a mitzvah l'chatchila to do it also. That's what I'm trying to say. I hear your question. I'm not arguing with you in question. It's a good question, but that's how I understand it. Yes?
Is
Who? Rav Zeira was talking about kachim, right? No, but it's a rule that the Torah sometimes writes things that way. Because we have a problem here. The Torah said speak, and the Torah said you don't have to. Again, all Rav Zeira showed us is that the Torah will write this kind of a thing to tell me it's necessary to have the ability not to do it. That's the rule he told me. He said it by Kachem, but it's not more applicable by Kachem than anywhere else. Except by Kachem, if it would have said it one time, it wouldn't have been a problem. Because Kachem, you can say things once, it only means preferable. But it says it multiple times. But at the same time, the Torah never said you have to do it. So if Zerah says, so why does the Torah keep on repeating it if you don't have to do it?
So when you're bringing this mincha now, can it be, bottom line, can it be brought without any mixing?
Which mincha? The 61? The 60? The 59?
The 42.
The 42 can be brought without mixing. Yes. Why'd you pick 42?
Why'd pick
51? But it's a good question you're asking. I'm not arguing your question. It ends up saying the chatchila is a mitzvah midiraisa, which is against the usual rules. Starting my right. Shochu leila avod ushmu. Yevama sharakika tachlites. A yevama that spits. Should do chalitza. If she spit in front of the yabam, in front of bezin, yibum is no longer an option. Here is the yabam and the yavama that come to bezin, and the yabam is interested in doing yibum, and the yavama is not. So she went ahead and spit in front of him, in front of bezin. Now, the spitting is part of the process. We had a machloikus in the Mishnah whether it's necessary. Or not necessary, but the Eved. Rabbi Akiva said, it's not necessary, and Rabbi Eliezer said, it is necessary. Now, Shmuel, they sent him this following halacha. A yavama that spits, chalitza is the only option now. Mechlau, ifsalo ma'achen. No brother can now do yibum. Even though she didn't do chalitza yet. All she did was spit.
How do we know maybe she was
doesn't say what her reason was. She spit in front of him, in front of Ben.
I mean, it's a good chance of
the reason why she, I mean, I speculated that the reason she did it is because she just didn't want to do yibum with him.
Well, we have that
lot of
people spit once, there's always people who kind of naturally spit when they speak.
I hope not in front of him. No, that's not spit. Spit means... Yeah, it's a spit.
Are we kosher for that or not? Is that
the Yom? No, that was the question about the at home. She was chaylet to shoe when she was living together with him in the house. That's what you're referring to. This is in front of Bezin.
You're saying chalots?
This is in front of Bezin.
I understand, Rebbe, but chalots and spit are separate entities, right?
Well, one is chalitza, is the essence of chalitza,
right.
And rekika is a machloek of sanoim, right?
So we're saying then that it's two things are different. Number one is it's rekika. Number two, it's in Bezdin.
Correct.
There's two reasons. Well,
one is one way, one is the other way.
Right.
Exactly. Bechlal the ifsalam achim. Yes.
Against the woman's will.
Correct.
All she has to do is spit and then...
In front of Bezin, in front of him.
Yeah.
He never has to go to Bezin.
Are they going to Bezin?
I don't know. This is Kasha and I said they're in Bezin and she spit in front of him. I don't know, maybe he went to Bezin to persuade her that she should be masking to Ibum. And when she went, I'm speculating now, I'm writing the story, you know what I mean? Frank the Gemara Mani, which Tana is this like? Elay or Rebbe Akiva? Is he going like Rebbe Akiva? Now, the question is, according to Rebbe Akiva, if you don't spit, it's a kosher chalitza. So if you spit, it's going to make it that Yibum can't be done. It's not an integral part of chalitza going to Bekiva. He said he learns that from the pasuk of Kochi Yehasa, that spitting is not makiv. It has to be Kochi Yehasa Ish. We had this in the Mishnah on Friday, that Rebbe Akiva holds, if you do chalitza without spitting, it's kosher. It's not an integral part, it's not the necessary part of the procedure. So it's not the necessary part of the procedure, and it will make it that it's enough to take away the possibility of Yibum. It's not even an integral part of the procedure. Now, the Gemara strengthens the question, and the Gemara brings something here that I'll explain what the Gemara says. The halacha is, and again, the Gemara is bringing an analogy. The halacha is, somebody brings a carbon. They do shchita, they do zrikas hadam on the mizbeach. Then there is a mitzvah to burn the emurim. The fat has to be burned on the mizbeach. If for whatever reason the fat got lost, the carbon is kosher. However, if the fat is here, you cannot proceed to eat the meat till the fat is burnt. If the fat got lost, forget about it. Just go eat the meat. Kayin can eat the chatas, Yisrael can eat the shlomim. They didn't burn the fat. It's okay. But if the fat is here, nobody can do anything till it's done. That's the halacha. Now, Zok the Gemara, here is a halacha that if she chalitza is done and she doesn't spit, even though she has the possibility to spit, it's kosher. We don't make spit. We don't make her spit. If she doesn't spit, the chalitza is still kosher. That's what Rebbe Akiva said. That means spitting is so out that it's not even necessary. It can be done without it. So the spitting should become something that if she does it, it should ban Yibum. Like, it's really not something that should make a difference. I hope I'm explaining myself well enough.
It's not required. How can you prohibit it?
Exactly. Yeah, which is 300 yaitas, that's all it is. No, it's not that hard at all. She can get, three people are sitting here, and he comes in, he's the Yavam, and they're schmoozing, and all of a sudden she says, she spits right in front of him. No more evil. Not only him, any brother, no more evil. That's what I'm saying. That's what he's saying. Yeah, he was saying that it's not so hard. You don't have to go to an official bathroom. It can be in shul here in front of three people.
When she's spinning now, let's say
you
look at it, is
this
over with now?
Or
is it part of the
Chalitza?
Chalitza's not done yet.
They didn't touch his shoe.
I mean, she can't right now. Remember we were chalek between Aachen and the rest of the belt? She can't go to marry someone else.
No, she didn't get chalitza. There was no chalitza yet. All she did was spit. So what's bothering the Gemara is, if it's not required, how can it prohibit? How can it prohibit Yibum when it's an act that's not required for Chalitza? That's what's bothering the Gemara. Dr. Gemara Ilei, Rebbe Akiva, Hashem, Mabba Mokim Mitzvah. When he's doing Chalitza, the Ikila Meima, you could make an argument, Midi Dehavi Amurim, like when you burn the fat of the Karbonis, the Chiles Nolei Ma'akvi, if they're not here, it's not Ma'akvi, here's no Ma'akvi. Omer, the keeper, like Ma'akri, even though she can spit, she doesn't have to. She is Ma'akri, Mipsula. Spitting should prohibit Yibum? Why? Rashi. Yevam shirakika lufnei bezin tachloitz. The nefselus aleim yibum. The makim mitzvah b'shas chalitza shirakika mitzvah. Emurim v'chiyis no ma'akvi. Basir ma'achila b'per tamid nishchat. V'chiyis no loy ma'akvi. Shenit mu'a sh'avdu. The tamid are lost. V'chanami neim ha'agav t'olav ma'isa choshe b'ishu. Not important. Hoyo v'epshalara k'la'akev. Still, it should be ma'akev. V'kamer v'kiva loy ma'akev. So for sure, it shouldn't prohibit. This halacha, by the way, creates the achrayim have a big problem with this. Because this halacha seems to be contradictory to Reb Zera's halacha. By Reb Zera's halacha is, you have to be able to do it, but you don't have to do it. By Emurim, the halacha is, if you're able, you have to, and if you're not able, it's okay. It's the exact opposite approach. By Reb Zera's halacha, we said, you don't have to do it, but you have to be able to do it. And here we're saying, if you don't have the Emurim, that's fine. Even though you're not able, but when you're able, you better do it. It's the exact opposite. Not that it affects our chalitza, it's just that the rules seem to be conflicting with each other.
Everybody has to accept Rav Zera's rule?
Well, that's what Tanakh Rav Zera say, that this argues Rav Zera's rule. But it's not so simple, because we posture Rav Zera's rule and we posture that, so it makes it problematic. But this is a problem. It's just these are two rules by Kutchim, and they seem to contradict each other. One is saying, all you have to do is be able to do it. You don't have to actually do it. And one is saying, if you can do it, it's ma'akev. If you can't do it, it's fine. Which is the exact opposite. Anyway, Elul Rabbi Lazar, Teretz is, going like Rabbi Lazar who says that spinning is an integral part of the procedure. You must spit. If not, it's not a good chalitza. But the problem is, Boshnei Dvarim Hamatirim Ninu, Ushnei Dvarim Hamatirim, Eimalin Zebeloizeh. These are two parts of a procedure, and the rule is whenever you have two parts of a procedure, each one on their own is meaningless. And therefore, why if she spit, do we say, no more Yibum? Why? It's a two-part procedure, and the rule is whenever you have a two-part procedure, one part is meaningless. So why Aser Yibum? That's the Gemara's Kasha. So going like a blazer, he says that spitting is an integral part of Yibum, and it's necessary. And if you don't spit, it's not a kosher chalitza. It's an integral part of chalitza. Fine, so you need two things for chalitza. Removal of the shoe and spitting. That's the two-part process. The rule is whenever you have a two-part process, one part doesn't mean anything. Dr. Ashi, Elor Ablazer, Damer Masnissen, Ma'akval Mamaisu, Vashnei Dwayma Matirme Malam Zebeloizeh. Okay, we'll leave the answer for tomorrow. We'll talk about this more tomorrow.